Hello there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry. We're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome to Hour 2 of the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. We just spilled a beer, which makes sense because we are relaxing after a day of diving on the Red Sea with Explorer Ventures on the Grand Sea Explorer. We're just having an amazing time. And Jerry Beatty spilled a beer, which is alcohol abuse. Is that what you said?
Absolutely alcohol abuse. I have to say, I didn't spill it, but I will take the blame for it. But actually, we were just christening the boat.
That's right. Okay, that makes sense. That works.
Right?
Yeah. Sven will back you up on this. Now, Sven's like the, I don't know, what do you consider your title? The dive master here on the boat, like overseeing all the dive program stuff?
Dive master, route manager, trip manager.
Right, he did most of the briefings for our dive sites. Matter of fact, we're cruising away from Little Brother, doing a day of diving on Little Brother, which was phenomenal. But he did a lot of the briefings, and he's very entertaining on his briefings. You have a, you know, obviously a picture of the dive site up on a TV screen, and then you say, okay, we're going to do plan A, B, or C, depending on the currents that they have here in the Red Sea. But the way you deliver your briefing is kind of unique. You throw in some, like, sound effect type of things. How did that evolve, Sven?
Just happens.
Just happens? He's like, I can't even do it. He's like, okay, we're going to go around the back of the wall. You know what I mean? What are you, whistle? What are you doing?
Yeah, whistle, like,
Exactly. He's got a whole library of sound effects that he throws into the dive briefing that really help paint a picture for all the divers. It's very entertaining. You do a great job. Great information, but you got to keep them awake sometimes, don't you?
Yeah. Sometimes the people start sleeping during the briefing that you recognize when they jump in the water and they're doing complete different things than you did said it before. But yeah, I hope.
Then you go, woohoo. Or, you know, I can't whistle. What are you? Can you whistle? Yeah, see, she's pretty good at it. There you go. See? Okay, so we got to work on that as far as our sound effects. But the dive sites for you, Sven, what do you think? What's your favorite? Was it one of the brothers, the big or the little?
The little brother, for sure, is one of my favorite dive sites.
And I think you said, what was it, the west wall?
Wall that we did, the last dive, is for sure one of the most beautiful walls in the northern Red Sea.
No doubt about it. The soft corals, the colors. Matter of fact, Amr, he suggested, look, you got your video lights going, and I know you're shooting your GoPro and getting video, but if you have the power to spare, take your lights and just shine them on the coral even during the day. And man, it did. You were so right. It just lit up with the colors. I was like, oh my gosh. It's really hard to describe, but man, they came alive during the day. You know, you're using the lights on the soft corals during the day. Very, very colorful stuff. And I don't know, why does it grow so prolific here in the Red Sea? Do you have any idea, or what is it?
In my opinion, the Red Sea is still one of the most healthy seas in the world. We have a big change of water temperatures during the day, the year. That means in summertime, the temperature is rising up to 30, 31 degrees, but in wintertime, they're dropping down to 20, 21. So this makes the corals always recover in wintertime. Then we have quite strong currents that always bring good food, and I think this is one of the reasons why we have that great coral reefs over here.
Well, you know, I've heard that. More current, more animals, more critters, that kind of thing. The temperature change, that makes sense. Right now, the water temp has been phenomenal. It's bathtub diving for myself. I love it. I just can go in a and my board shorts and a t-shirt, and I'm good to go. I mean, we're doing about 81, 82 degrees Fahrenheit, and capping out around 86 even. So, I mean, it was very, very warm water, and anything above 80, I'm usually skipping the wetsuit thing. But everybody else is wearing wetsuits, so I feel kind of like kind of hardcore. You don't like going just with your bathing suit, I guess, right?
Yeah, it's too cold when you...
Too cold, but you live, you're from Germany, right?
Right, but here I dive with 3 millimeters, and when I do 3 or 4 dives a day, so in the second or third dive, I kind of...
Yeah, get a little chilly, and I do too, but we had a nice surface interval between each dive, gave me a chance to warm up and that kind of thing. But so you guys think I'm crazy, is that it?
No, you're hardcore, absolutely.
Hardcore crazy, I think, is what she was trying to say. But, all right, so a favorite critter. I ask all the crew members this, Sven. So you obviously like the West Wall here on Little Brother and the soft corals and that kind of thing, but is there a particular animal, whether it's the oceanic white tips or the lacimanos? Is that right? Did I say it right?
Longimanos, actually, they say. No, but my favorite critters are actually the small stuff, and my absolute favorite is actually the Hippocampus debelius. The soft coral...
I heard hippopotamus. I didn't know they had those here. Now, wait, what is that?
The soft coral dwarf seahorse of the Red Sea. And you can pay millions of dollars to see this one. If it's not meant to be, you will not see it. Yeah, for every other creature in the world, you can pay money and you're going to see it. But for this one, you either see it by luck or you don't see it. Anytime.
Okay, now do you ever do that type of briefing and say, on this dive, I guarantee you're going to see this dwarf seahorse, no. And then you take a little plastic one underwater?
That would work, but
I got punked in the Galapagos like that from the crew. So, you know, they do that sometimes, but yeah, you guys don't do. You don't have to. You got everything here,
sometimes,
right?
Sometimes we take gummy bears and eat them during diving. And
yeah, there you go. Hey, check out this critter, and then you pull it off the rock and eat it. That would throw them. That's a great idea. Well, I might have to throw that into my repertoire for sure. Now, Mahmoud is with us as well. And what's your title, Mahmoud?
I'm a paddy instructor. And as well, I'm the second guide after Sven. So Sven is always handling the boat. He's the main guide. And
he makes you do all the work and takes all the credit
exactly.
And that kind of thing?
I go to sleep and I just do everything.
Right. I know how it works. I hear what you're saying. Do you do all... I don't know. Do you got all the whistles and sound effects like he does?
No.
You don't need that.
A bit boring, you know.
Yeah.
Less intense. Like
it's a gimmick. It's his gimmick. You leave
exactly.
It. Let him have his.
All the sound effects are his.
Yeah, I understand. What about you?
I just glow underwater, you know. Like
yeah, that's right. He is. You know, everybody's very friendly. The crew is super, super nice and very passionate about showing what they have here in the Red Sea underwater. It's pretty. It's just amazing, and
yeah.
It's very. You know, the folks in Germany, you guys are digging the crew as well, right?
Yeah, they're fantastic, the crew.
Yeah, it doesn't matter if you're German, you're Chinese. We have some folks from there, from America, whatever. We're all divers, right?
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I love about my job, that every single week you meet people all over the world and you get to know, just away from diving, you get to know how people think and new cultures and everything. And it's even better that when you see them next year and they are no longer customer and employee relationship, that we are friends.
Right.
Yeah,
yeah, they're coming back year after year. You create a great friendship and global network of divers you can, you know, connect with and stuff. And then when they come back, it's like a family reunion,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly, it's like a family.
Nice. Yeah. Now, what about the critters for you? What do you like to see in the Red Sea? Yeah, creatures, yeah. I say critters,
yeah,
I don't know.
I started diving just to see sharks. Sharks was my... passion.
Yeah.
I just loved sharks when I was 14. And then I started diving at 15 and I couldn't see sharks until I was 19. But by the time I was 18, I was already working as a dive master.
Nice.
So
sharks were the thing. Any particular type of species? Like, the thresher shark saw here was shocking to me. I did not expect to find thresher sharks here in the Red Sea.
For me, it was gray white shark, but we don't have them here in Egypt.
You don't have the gray whites.
No,
okay.
No.
But so have you dove with those before?
Sorry?
You haven't been to that part of the world yet, huh?
Still on the list, so...
Well, you know, there's always something you have on your list depending on where your backyard of diving is. And right here, you got pretty much everything except maybe great whites.
Great whites, yeah. But I have seen the tiger sharks a couple more than a couple of times.
Yeah, you were telling me this, that I don't remember which dive site, but didn't you say there were like five giant tiger sharks that cruised through the area on one dive?
That was Elphinstone, which is the dive site we did yesterday, and that's why it's my favorite dive site, because that particular dive, it was my best dive site. Best dive ever. When we saw five tiger sharks and they stayed with us for 20-25 minutes, that was back in 2009.
Nice.
It was incredible.
And these weren't just tiger sharks. These were big ones. Like you said, what, 3 meters and plus or something?
Yeah, the small one was about 3 meters, and there was a pregnant female. It was huge, a monster.
Those are some big boys and girls, you know. And I don't know, if I saw those underwater, I might relieve myself just a little bit in my board shorts. But hey, I'm free balling, so it doesn't really matter. More coming up from the Red Sea with Explorer Ventures and Scuba Radio next. Stay close.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
Dive industry professionals in the know, go to the DEMA Show, the Diving Equipment and Marketing Association trade show in Orlando, November 13th through 16th, allows you to connect with over 600 leading dive equipment manufacturers, travel destinations, apparel wholesalers, and service providers from around the globe. It's the largest diving event for dive professionals in the world, and why you see Scuba Radio at the entrance every year welcoming the 10,000 attendees each morning. The DEMA Show, November 13th through 16th in Orlando. More info at DEMAShow.com.
Come as a guest, leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explorer Ventures Liveaboards. It doesn't matter if you're traveling solo, with a buddy or group. Explorer Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. For proof, know Explorer Ventures has one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. They're also the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. You've likely heard us talk about Explorer Ventures Scuba Radio scuba cruise trips many times, and we invite you to join us on the next one. However, whether we're on board with you or not, I'll bet an Explorer Ventures liveaboard trip will be one of the best dive experiences you've ever had. It just doesn't get any better. Save the St. Kitts, Turks and Caicos, the Galapagos, Maldives, Indonesia, humpback whales, and the Silver Banks. New destinations and itineraries are being added all the time. Call one of their talented travel consultants to find the Explorer Ventures liveaboard experience that's just right for you. 1-800-322-3577. That's 1-800-322-3577. Or visit exploreventures.com. That's exploreventures.com.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
Surface interval is complete. You are now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
If a man swims nude in the ocean, what sea creature might mistake his manhood for food? Jordan.
Shark.
Shark. They're going to play. Jay, let's get after it, man. If a man swims nude in the ocean, what sea creature might mistake his manhood for food?
Mermaid.
Yeah, Jay.
That's funny.
Yeah. A mermaid.
Oh, that was adorable.
Come on.
That was a cute answer.
Best answer so far, yeah.
I stick with my answer.
I love your answer.
You need to ask different people.
I'm going to dream that tonight.
Come on, let's go.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. I'm in the Red Sea with Explorer Ventures on the Grand Sea Explorer. This boat is phenomenal, by the way. 135 feet long. And what did we say, Jerry? It was 24 feet wide? 24 feet wide. This is a massive vessel. like the largest in the Red Sea, and so we're living large. Sven is our dive meister, I guess. I don't know. I'm still not sure. Just dive guide to the Red Sea.
Yeah, it's a dive guide.
We'll go with that. And by the way, if you don't have the opportunity to get here sooner as opposed to later, I mean, we got the boot show coming up in Germany. Jerry and myself are planning to get over there for the first time in January. And Sven and a lot of the people on the boat go to this show. That's like one of the shows you go to when you can back home in Germany?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a must be.
It's a must go type of event if you're a scuba diver. Is that right, Bianca?
Oh, yes, it is. And it's
okay.
Very close to us.
Now, you've met us after we've been on the boat for a week with you guys. Would we fit in well with that crowd, or are they going to like kick us out after the first day or so?
No, absolutely not, because you're divers, and we divers, we stick together.
Okay, right. You'll vouch for us if we pay you off. Is that what it is?
Minimum
okay.
Minimum half. Is
that's right. Right. Yes. Sven said that the boot show. Well, it's one of the largest consumer dive shows, if not the largest diving and boating and outdoor water sports event in the world. This thing is massive. But he said the real business happens at night, as does most dive shows. They go hang out at the bar and they have parties every night, and that's where you really get to connect with the fellow divers and stuff. Is that right, Sven?
Yeah. The good thing in the boat show at Düsseldorf is that actually everything happens still in the hall, so you don't need to go to a hotel and meet the people. You meet them after the show. Some guys are opening a can of beer or a bigger can of beer or whatever.
So happy hour starts right there at the end of the show. You don't even leave the show floor. You're hanging out with the folks at Explorer Ventures and learn about the Grand Sea Explorer, and then you just kick back and have a beer with them, and then the party goes all night kind of deal, huh?
Exactly. And then you meet the guys, the friends that you made all over the years. Because during the day you're busy, you don't have time, and even in the evening you're gathering together, drinking beer or whatever, and having a chat, and for sure...
Well, you're in Germany. It's the law. You have to drink beer in Germany. Isn't that right, Bianca? That's how I was raised. I heard that when you went to Germany, you have to drink
German beer.
Only German beer. Okay. And what's your favorite German beer?
To be honest, I drink wine.
What? She's going to be deported, isn't she?
I'm sorry. I'm Polish, so I drink vodka.
Oh, okay. Well, so much for that theory.
Because I come from a wine area. I grew up with wine. My uncle is a wine farmer, so I drink wine.
Okay. Well, then that makes sense. Sven, what about you? Is there a particular beer that you have to drink when you're in Germany or what?
Yeah, I prefer Bitburger.
Okay. He could have made that up. I'd have no idea. But it's Oktoberfest. He's German. I'm going to take his word for it. Right?
Yeah, that's true. But you don't get Bitburger at the Oktoberfest. It's a special beer.
They're going to kick you out if you ask for a Bitburger.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. I'm going to have to come to you guys then, because I want to make sure I get the right stuff. I'd rather not be kicked out on my own accord. I'd rather have it be some, bonehead mistake like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but in different areas, they have different beer. So you have to know where you are and which beer is the right one.
Got it. Well, I have you guys to rely on. You got my back, right?
So on the boat, you don't have to order Kölsch. It's absolutely wrong, because the boat is in Düsseldorf, and in Düsseldorf you don't drink Kölsch. Absolutely no.
I have no idea what she just said, Jerry, but I don't think it matters. They're going to steer us in the right here. Drink this, you'll be fine, right?
I think that's the way it's shaping up.
See, that's what when you make friends on a liveaboard vessel like this, that's what happens. You can rely on your new friends to steer you in the right direction.
Yeah, that's true.
Keep you out of jail.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, that's like our own little private bail bondsman in Germany when we go there at the end of January. But yeah, we're looking forward to that for sure. Now, we're towards the end. We got one more day of diving here on the Grand Sea Explorer in the Red Sea. And we talked to Bianca here at the beginning of the trip, and she had some expectations. What about now, after you've done all these dives during the week? What has been the favorite thing that you've seen so far underwater, you figure? I mean, I know that I'm springing this on her. She's like, there were so many, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. I'm still thinking. I think it's the...
What?
Fox hide.
The fox hide. I don't know. What?
Fox hide.
Thresher shark.
What do you call it, though? The fox what?
Fox hide. So
fox hide.
Fox shark. It's the foxy shark. The word for word translation would be fox shark.
Okay. Or, be careful how you say that. We'll just go with foxy. Foxy mama. Oh, yeah, you get that, right? No?
Yeah.
No, she's like, what is wrong with you? But that's okay. The Thracer shark, right. That was pretty unique to see that, right?
Yeah, it just looked beauty.
It was. That long, shapely tail that they have, they can smack their tail with and smack their prey with and go after them. It's really an amazing-looking shark. I would guess, Sven, that never gets old, seeing something like that. Is that right?
I still love them, and as soon as I see them, I'm always happy. The closer they are, the better it is.
Yeah.
And
I got within 10 feet. 3 meters. I was shocked. I couldn't believe that. First of all, I was surprised we even saw one. And second, I was amazed how close I got. Because, Jerry and myself, we have photography friends, and they travel halfway around the world to see Thresher sharks, and they got to get up at like 2 o'clock in the morning and do this crazy dive in the middle of nowhere. And here we go to the Red Sea on the first dive, or second dive of the day on the first day. And sure enough, there's a Thresher shark down there. And we get within like 10 feet of it. I got video to prove it, and everything was pretty pretty amazing. I almost got a selfie, but I had the angle of my camera off, so I didn't get me. And
the tail and one ear.
Exactly. I got the bottom of the shark and the top of my head or something. I don't know. It was a mess. But regardless, I did get just the Thresher shark. It's just icing on the cake for something like this on the Red Sea, because even if you took that off the table, even if you took the oceanic white tips off the table, and what's the other big thing? Oh, the manta ray. The soft corals and the color here on the walls especially are mind-boggling. Really impressive here in the Red Sea. And all you got to do is book a trip with Explorer Ventures, 1-800-322-3577. You can be where I am right now, making everybody who's listening going, gosh, wish you were me. All right, we got more coming up from the Red Sea next. Stay close to the world's first radio show devoted to diving. This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Craig the Dive Master. We are in the Red Sea on the Grand Sea Explorer with Explorer Ventures and reflecting on just an amazing week on board this trip. All you got to do, once again, is just go to exploreventures.com, give them a call, book it. If you have heard enough stories already, or I think you have, you want to be where we are right now because it's impressive. We're just sitting out on the deck talking shop. Talking about what we love, scuba diving. Now, we have our Polish-German right now, right? And your name is?
Agnieszka.
Right. I didn't want to, say it again because I think I would have butchered it pretty good.
Break your tongue if you try.
Right. Yeah, definitely. But, okay, so what did you see this week that really stood out in your mind that was like kind of like a bucket list check mark that you made?
Well, all the sharks were amazing, and I love to see the hammerheads.
The hammerheads, yes.
Yeah, it was, wow, they are. I couldn't believe I see them, so it was, woo!
Yes, I forgot to mention those. Yeah, but those are fairly common. You see those pretty often, Sven?
Quite often, but not always. So it's always a gift. You always have to be lucky. You have to be in the right time in the right spot.
But are they are hammerheads around some of these pinnacles or islands year-round?
Around Brother Island and about around Daedalus, they are quite common. And we see them, especially during summer season, we see them more often, more frequently. And sometimes you have them a whole dive, and sometimes you just have a sneak on it.
Right. Yeah, I kind of got a sneak. How close did you get to your hammerhead this week?
One dive, I saw him about, 10 meters away.
So okay, about 30 feet or so. Yeah.
Yeah, we can see everything, and the head was fantastic, and he was diving up to the wall next to us, so it was very nice.
It's pretty sweet. And had you ever seen a hammerhead before you came here to the Red Sea?
No,
never. Now, you also celebrated your 100th dive here this week, right?
Yeah.
Was it naked?
Under the suit, it was naked.
Okay. Well, because that's a thing, right? You knew this.
Yeah, I know.
So she probably did. She just doesn't want to share. You're shy that way.
Absolutely.
Okay, she's not talking. All right, look, we got more stories to share from the Red Sea next on the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
This place is completely freeing. Would you believe that today I dabbled in public nudity? Daphne and I found a secluded cove on the beach. We shed our garments and surrendered ourselves to the sand, the sea, and one rather curious grouper.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. We're in the Red Sea with Explorer Ventures on the Grand Sea Explorer. And it's towards the end of our trip. I know it's sad. I know you're listening to us right now. It's like, poor boy. Yeah, well, you know, hey, everything has a beginning and it has an end. And as the Dive Master Sven said on the last briefing, he said, this is our last dive for now. So we will be back if they'll have us. And next time, you should be on board with us as well. Now, Dr. Doug Ebersole has been one of our guests here, along with Jerry Beatty from Dive Training Magazine. Him and his wife, as a matter of fact, a buddy team, having a great old time. And I wanted to talk a little bit with Dr. Doug about the type of diving and gear you might want to bring. I'll tell you what, you know, I've been talking about the Shearwater Terek for some time on the show, and I really gave that thing a workout. That is the ideal dive computer, I think, bar none, after this trip, because, you know, we were really kind of, I don't know, we were pushing our bottom time, and you got to have something that's really going to, you know, work that to the maximum to your benefit and safety, and it did all those. Now, do you agree?
Oh yeah, the Terek was fantastic. I've had mine about 6 months, I think, similar to you. As luck would have it, I've done nothing but rebreather diving up until this trip, so I never really used it other than as a backup for my rebreather. So we just dove the heck out of it this week. Fantastic computer, very reliable, air-integrated, tracks your bottom time, does all the logging for, you know, for your dives. Fantastic.
Yeah, and, you know, we were diving Nitrox all week, as you do on most liveaboards, but it's probably even more important here in the Red Sea, because a lot of the dives can go towards the deep end compared to, say, like if you're going down to the Florida Keys and doing 30 or 40 feet. I mean, you're going to start off around 100 feet for a lot of these dives to see some of the pelagics, especially cruising around some of the outcroppings here in the Red Sea. So, you know, you want to have a proper dive computer and that can track all that for you and keep you, you know, well within the boundaries of being safe from decompression sickness and all that kind of stuff. And I got to say, you know, I was watching my Terek quite a bit. And just kind of, you know, keeping an eye on the numbers, make sure I didn't go into deco or anything. And I came close every now and then, but I was right there, and it was very easy to see and just easy to manage. And I just learned a few more little tricks about, like, checking the water temp. I realized that, you know, 80-80-80 for my dive, my preference might have to be 80-80-82. Because, like, 80 is just slightly too cool still. 82, I think, was my threshold where I was like, all right, board shorts and a rash guard are just right. If you go below 82, you're going to feel a little chilly at the end of some of these dives. Because with a dive computer like the Terek, I mean, we're pushing, like, you know, an hour bottom time, even if we started off at 100 feet on Nitrox. That's pretty good.
Right. This is all multi-level kind of diving. So a lot of this was walls or at least drop-offs, so you would drop to, you know, I'm about to speak in meters since we've been doing that all week, but, you know, you drop to 100, 120 feet, and then a few minutes, it's kind of multi-level profiling up. And like you're saying, you know, you'd get close to your no-deco limits, but the Terek's nice and color-coordinated. It'll, all of a sudden, you start flashing. You get to 5 minutes, it's flashing yellow to kind of tell you, hey, you're kind of getting a caution area and so forth. You move up, and all of a sudden, you got a lot more bottom time. We'd always finish up a long run at 15, 20 feet, and, yeah.
Typical. Well, within the safety zone, too, you know. Absolutely. As far as not even getting close to pushing a no-deco limit and that kind of thing. Now, Amr is like the dive operations guy for the fleet in this part of the world. So when you tell people for the first time they're coming to the Red Sea, Amr, what, first of all, I'm guessing they would need to, or they should be at least advanced open water certified, or what do you think?
Depends on the route. Some routes you can be open water, others should be advanced, and also courses are available on board. So if they're not qualified up to when they come on the check-in, then they can do the course on board during the week as well.
They can have someone like Moody take them by the hand and teach them during the week and get them squared away. So, I mean, that's the thing. They really do watch out for all the people on board to make sure they're diving correctly and, you know, giving them a little tip here and there as far as orientation for the Red Sea and that kind of thing. Now, the itinerary we did was the south route, right?
Almost south route, yeah. Daedalus is considered one of the south routes. Brothers can be, it's in the middle, okay?
That's kind of mixed. That can be on the northern or the southern route.
Yes, exactly. So it was like a mix of medium north and a south route.
Got it. I will say, out of all the sites we did, I mean, it's hard to pick, but I do think the Brothers was maybe just a little bit, you know, it was hard to eclipse that one dive where we get an oceanic white tip, a thresher shark, and a manta ray on one dive. I mean, it's hard to top that. Are you with me, Amr, or what?
Yes, I totally agree about that, yeah.
So that's one of the premier sites, but they are so good everywhere. That's why I say it's not an easy choice. Would you say there, Dr. Doug?
I agree. I think Brothers, though, was by far the best. For what you mentioned on that was on Big Brother.
Yep.
And then yesterday we came back and finished up at Little Brother, and that last drift dive along the west wall in the afternoon with all the soft corals and all the anthias and all the fish and more oceanics and everything else. It was in a thresher shark, and it was unbelievable.
Yeah, you really have the best of all worlds because, you know, we saw these big pelagics every now and then, but you also the soft corals, the shallow water stuff, especially when the light is shimmering down through the water column and just lighting up the reef in like 20, 25 feet there while you're doing your safety stop. It's like, this is magic. And I'm guessing you like to hear that. Am I right, Amr?
Yeah, as I mentioned before, Brothers is my favorite site, especially Small Brother. And if you remember at the beginning, I told you Brothers is about the variety. You will not a big concentration of something, but it's the variety of the things we're going to see. Unlike Daedalus, you have the hammerheads. Okay, they were a bit deep on this week, but still, it's common to get up to 50 hammerheads all together as one school.
That would be sweet. See, that gives me a reason to come back. You know, you never know what Mother Nature is going to serve up to you. And I will say, you know, the seas sometimes were a little bit challenging for us this week. Not terrible by any stretch, but I mean, they can be, 3 to 5 foot waves, or it could be flat calm. Like today, when we were at Small Brother, it was pretty calm all day.
Yeah, Brothers, yes. We were lucky with the weather yesterday at the Brothers. Now, yeah, it's nice. It's just breezy. The sea is fine. So, yeah.
Is there a better time of year to come as far as weather and seas, that kind of thing, or it just varies week to week? You just never know.
It varies from week to week. Yeah.
Any time of the year is a good time to come to the Red Sea. I'm guessing that's what you're going to tell me right now.
Yeah, that's true. But if you want to see the oceanics or the longimanos, the season for them is September, October, November, December.
Aha.
Sometimes they show up in May, okay, or June, but then they disappear again until December.
Yeah, so they're not that common, even though we saw them quite a bit this week, because we are in season, right, for the oceanic white tips. I thought they were here all the time, but so there's like a 3 or 4 month period where you see them fairly common, and they like to come in and just check out the dive boats. Is that right?
Yes, they're very curious. They come and check the dive boats, check the divers, say hello, and then swim away and come back and swim away and come back.
Yeah, they're very impressive. Did you get a good shot there, Dr. Doug? He was shooting stills all week.
Yeah, I got a couple of really good shots of the oceanics. They were very, very, very curious, like you said. The best shots are almost right under the boat. In fact, going out on the pangas, you could actually see the oceanics right just below the surface. So that was fantastic.
Yeah, now you call them pangas. I think that, do you call them zodiacs here in the Red Sea or what?
We call them zodiacs or ribs.
Okay, right. So pangas is more of a Fiji thing, isn't it?
Yeah. So yeah, these are basically ribs. They're rigid inflatables.
Yeah, the inflatable zodiacs, right. So I just want to get the terminology right so we don't sound like a tourist. You hear what I'm saying, Amr?
Yeah, you can use both, rib or zodiac.
They don't care. They're like, yeah, you're either freaking Americans. They'll say whatever they want to say anyway. All right, so Jerry Beatty, who has dove around the world after a week of diving in the Red Sea, Tell me, what are your thoughts there, Jerry?
Well, you hear about these world-famous dive sites around the world, and you just question and go, you know, they're real famous. Everybody's talking about them. Can it be that good? Well, I got to tell you, I've been hearing about the brothers for a long time, and I was not disappointed. They live up to their reputation fully. So, you know, that was the start of the trip, and then we went to some places I'd never even heard of, and they were just as good.
They were just amazing, no doubt about it. You hear about the Red Sea being in the top five of pretty much every seasoned diver's list. And it's been 22 years. It took me that long to get here. But I would have to agree with you 110%. There's no question this is in the top five of the dive places that I've been. Just as far as a destination, a cool atmosphere. I mean, the boat obviously makes things pretty easy and pretty nice, too. So they get a little icing on the cake with the boat. Yeah, and we got much more to do. We haven't even, went into Cairo to do all the land stuff. So that's coming up. We'll tell you all about it here in just a bit on the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
You like to talk diving? Greg the Dive Master's all toweled down and ready to take your call now. Call Scuba Radio at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
Come as a guest, leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explorer Ventures Liveaboards. It doesn't matter if you're traveling solo, with a buddy or group. Explorer Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. For proof, know Explorer Ventures has one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. They're also the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. You've likely heard us talk about Explorer Ventures Scuba Radio Scuba Cruise trips many times, and we invite you to join us on the next one. However, whether we're on board with you or not, I'll bet an Explorer Ventures liveaboard trip will be one of the best dive experiences you've ever had. It just doesn't get any better. Save the St. Kitts, Turks and Caicos, the Galapagos, Maldives, Indonesia, humpback whales, and the Silver Banks. New destinations and itineraries are being added all the time. Call one of their talented travel consultants to find the Explorer Ventures liveaboard experience that's just right for you. 1-800-322-3577. That's 1-800-322-3577. Or visit exploreventures.com. That's exploreventures.com.
Traffic sucks, unless you're scuba diving with Mike Scott.
Mike glanced down at his dive computer. It showed less than 50 PSI left in his tank. Probably just a few more breaths.
Or riding shotgun in a thrilling car chase.
One bullet hit the Jeep's windshield, spiderwebbing the passenger side. Mike shifted into second gear and felt the Jeep leap forward. This just got serious.
Escape your commute with audiobooks from author Eric Douglas. Download to your phone. Go to booksbyeric.com or audible.com.
Obviously, we have it pretty good here at Scuba Radio, but why let us have all the fun? Dive into scubaradio.com and allow us to share the joy. It's all there, from cool monthly giveaways to info on how you can join us on our next big dive adventure or Scuba Radio broadcast. Click on the Shop tab for special Scuba Radio pricing on Scuba Radio hats, jackets, shirts, and an assortment of unique items you won't find anywhere else. You can even get info on how to take scuba classes from a real live mermaid. So dive in now at Scuba Radio.
Prepare to rig for dive.
Your surface interval is complete. You're now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio,
the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
You went up to the surface again, didn't you? Didn't you?
Nothing happened.
Oh, I'm about to dive in. Baby girl, hold your breath. We're about to get so wet. Put me to the test, girl, when I dive.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. All right, so we are in the Red Sea with Explorer Ventures. Just a few minutes left on today's show. It's going to carry into next week's broadcast because we're about to go into Cairo, do the whole pyramid, you know, looking for camels and God knows what else we might see. But we're going to do that whole Egyptian tour thing that you do when you come to this part of the world. You have to mark it off the list. And I'm actually looking really, really forward to that as well, because if you're going to come this far from the States, you might as well, drink it all in. Valerie, have you done that?
No, not yet, unfortunately.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Now, Valerie, who's from Germany, she was telling me here at the beginning of the show, in the beginning of the week, as we produce the show throughout the week here on the Grand Sea Explorer, that you've been to the Red Sea many times.
Yeah, actually many times, but we've never made it to any perfect site outside of the Red Sea. So
really? So
yeah.
You've never went in and saw the pyramids and all that kind of stuff?
We always tell each other that once we are old, we will do that.
Okay, so only old people do that. Is that what you're saying to me right now?
Not exactly, but this is something you can, this is something you can very easily do. You do a nice Nile River cruise at the end of the diving holiday, and this is something you can easily and more do more in a more relaxed way when you...
Okay, so according to Valerie, that's what the old farts do. Well, we'll see if she's correct next week after we do it, and I guess we'll fall into that category. Regardless... It seems kind of cool to me. You never rode a camel?
Yes, we rode a camel, but here in Hurghada, we went on a quad tour into the desert.
Yeah.
And then
so you can do that right here from Hurghada?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
And it's super fun. But
so that counts.
That counts.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. So you didn't do the pyramid thing, but you've done the camel and you went through the sand and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and see the Bedouins and drink tea with them.
You saw the what?
The Bedouins. This is an Egyptian tribe.
Oh,
very
okay.
Traditional.
All right.
Yeah.
And what do they do?
Yeah, they drink tea with you. They live in the desert. It's quite ancient, I think. And
are they those guys on Star Wars with the glowing eyes?
Yeah, close to that.
Okay. See, that's I'm going to learn this when we do the land tour. I'll learn much more and be a little bit more culturally aware
next
week.
Yeah, that's rather pop culture, right?
Yeah, maybe. All right. So we'll get to that here in just a bit. But reflecting on your week of diving this week, how did it compare to your other trips to the Red Sea?
It was definitely one of our best trips to the Red Sea because we saw so much and the variety was incredible. You had big stuff. You had critter stuff. We had all the hammerheads, thresher sharks, gray sharks.
How common is that, though? Do you usually see all that stuff on when you come to the Red Sea?
Yes,
or?
Definitely, but probably not on one trip.
Yeah?
So
this one was a little bit better than what you've had in the past.
We're super lucky. And
it was us. It was us, Team America brought a little luck to the boat, you think?
It was rather the vibe of the whole boat, probably.
The vibe, okay. that we'll go with that. It was a vibe, for sure. What do you think, Michael?
Yes, definitely a great vibe with you, and a very, very beautiful trip. We had so many good experience, and the team on the boat and the guests, that's what makes a great spirit of the tour.
So true. And you guys have been gracious to just talk to us and tolerate us, so I want to thank you personally for that, Valerie.
Thank you.
You and your team of Germans.
Oh, this is so nice of you. We enjoyed being with you, and we enjoyed seeing you enjoying the Red Sea that we like a lot, too.
Well, as I said earlier, it brings us together, this whole diving thing. If everybody would dive, there'd be no wars, right?
Definitely.
Yeah, see? You know, that's all we got to do is get everyone underwater. Then they can't talk and yell at each other.
Yeah.
And then maybe that's the trick. I don't know. But you'd be definitely distracted by all the underwater attractions here in the Red Sea, for sure. So the highlight for you this week, was it the thresher shark? That was mine, I got to say.
Yeah, for me, I think it was the manta ray, because I have not seen that many of those. So
how close did you get to that manta?
About 10 meters.
Okay, about 30 feet. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. So manta is your thing, huh?
Definitely.
Checked it off the list this week. Moody, come on over here. I got to wrap things up here with Moody. Give one more shout-out, because he really did tolerate Team America better than anyone. And were we a rough team to wrangle this week, Moody? I got to be honest. Be honest.
No, seriously. Yours is a great team, guys. You did everything's perfect, and we had fun, and it was cool.
Jerry had already paid him off, obviously. That's okay. I just wanted to double-check. Any last-minute or last thoughts there, Dr. Doug? You going to come back?
Absolutely. I think anybody who's a scuba diver who has even thought about going to the Red Sea should definitely put it on their bucket list and book a trip right away.
What about you, Jerry Beatty?
Yeah.
The Dive Training Magazine's been around the world. The authority when it comes to dive magazines and just doing this stuff. I mean, what are your thoughts?
Well, I'm checking this off the list of having been, but putting it on the top of the list of got to come back. You know, but I'm looking forward to going to Cairo. I'm looking forward to seeing the camels. I just wish we could have done it here.
Well, yeah.
What did
well,
we know?
Well, you know, there was a camel at the marina. So who knows? Man, when we get back, we're going to have a little time. What's that, Moody?
His name is Oscar.
It's Oscar. Yeah. So Oscar the camel is going to be waiting for us when we arrive back at Hurghada Marina, and we'll see. And Amr, once again, thank you for your hospitality and your crew this week. And obviously, if people book this with Explorer Ventures in the States, chances are they're going to come across you when they get here. Is that right?
Yeah, that's true. It was a pleasure having you on board. Well, we still have also until tomorrow, so we're going to enjoy more of our time. And, yeah, I hope you had a great experience.
There's no doubt. And Amr and the folks from Explorer Ventures, they're going to be at the boot show in Germany. So if you happen to be going, we might be going there ourselves. So we'll cover that accordingly. And, of course, Explorer Ventures will be at all the dive shows in the U.S., including the DEMA show just next month. So if you want to get a hold of them, exploreventures.com, 1-800-322-3577. Call them, book the Red Sea. You will thank me 10 times over once you get out here. Just an amazing trip. All right, that'll do it for this week. Till next time, remember, it's always better. Where, gang?
Down where it's wetter.
Safe diving, everyone.
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
Scuba Radio.
This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.
The opinions you just heard on Scuba Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
Okay, you know what I just heard? Blah, 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 blah.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
Come on, quit yanking me.
Scuba diving does involve risk and should never be conducted without proper instruction and training.
Oh, what's the worst thing that could happen?
I could die.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at scubaradio.com.